Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the third Sunday in Easter, a day where the appointed gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 24, an account of Jesus walking on the road or the way to Emmaus with two of his disciples. Today is also the third Sunday of the month, which means that we celebrate the Lord's Supper at the 8 o'clock service. So we're not having the breaking of the bread in this particular service, but we do every Lord's Day. It's also 1 week away from Confirmation Sunday, where Edward, who is our sole eighth grade catechumen, is going to give witness to what the Lord has done for him and to him and in him in his baptism. And then he'll break bread with us for the first time next week. Now, since all these things kind of culminate in our Luke text, that is, being catechized by God's Word, celebrating the Lord's Supper, it would be fitting if we approach the gospel reading this morning by asking three important questions. And there are three important questions that you can be using anytime you're reading the scriptures on your own, right? The questions are what, so what, and now what? What is the text? The so what is the significance of the text, and the now what is, well, what impact does that have on me and those around me in the life of the church as we seek to live out God's call for us in our vocations, where we live in love and faith? So we're going to start today with looking at the what of the text, right? It's the first Easter day. It's just later in the afternoon. We pick up the story after the women had gone to the tomb early in the morning, only to find it empty. They hear the report of the angels. They run back and they tell the disciples and share with them what they had witnessed. Now, according to Luke, Peter alone runs back to the tomb, finds the linen burial cloths, and then he returns home marveling. Luke is leading us to see that there is more than the 11 who are hearing the report of these of the women, right? Remember in Luke's gospel, Jesus doesn't just send out the 12, he sends out the 72. And these two disciples that we meet on the road are likely two of those larger group of disciples, the 72. It's later in the afternoon. The disciples who were in Jerusalem to celebrate the Lord's Passover were now journeying back. They were walking on the road to Emmaus, a town approximately 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. And in the morning, or the first service, I said it took about 2 hours, but that's not right. Have you ever walked 7 miles before? If you're walking 30 minutes per mile, roughly, that's about 3.5 hours, isn't it? If I do the math right, don't check my math. It's longer than 2 hours. These two disciples are walking, and as they're walking, they're talking. They're recounting all the things that had happened during this last Passover. They were talking specifically about Jesus. They were talking about his betrayal, his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, his death and his burial. They were talking about the strange reports that they had got from the women. And you'd think that with all these pieces here, their hearts would be filled with joy, but they were not. They were walking back to Emmaus with hearts heavy and downcast. They were perplexed. And you could say even that their eyes were blind. Blind to see the big picture, blind to see what has happened here. And as they're walking, here's the thing, Jesus comes alongside of them. But they don't know that it's Jesus. They mistake him for perhaps another righteous Jewish pilgrim who is in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And Jesus asks them a question. says, what is it that you're talking about? What are you discussing on the way? And these disciples talk to the unrecognizable Jesus, and as they're doing so, they're further revealing their blindness. Not physical blindness, of course, but blindness of spiritual things, the significance of what has happened. They have all the pieces of the puzzle, but they haven't put it together. They say to Jesus, they're talking about Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and we had hoped, past tense, that he was the one to redeem Israel. Past tense, of course, because they believe that Jesus is not alive. Was he a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people? Yes, but that's not the whole story. They're revealing their spiritual blindness concerning the significance of what had happened that Passover. They had all the facts, but they lacked the faith to see. Well, as they continued walking on the way to Emmaus, Jesus opened up to them the scriptures. It was probably the best Bible study these guys had ever been in all their life. He is catechizing them from the written word, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. He is interpreting to them in all the scriptures the things that are concerning himself. All the scriptures are pointing to Jesus. And all along the way, Jesus is bringing them from a place of spiritual blindness and darkness and not understanding to faithful vision and belief and life. At the end of this, 3.5-hour catechism walk, the disciples, along with Jesus, arrive at their destination. They arrive in Emmaus. But Jesus intends to go further. Of course he does. He hasn't yet ascended to the Father, right? The disciples implore him, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And Jesus graciously does. He accepts their invitation. He goes into the house with them. And then comes a pivotal point in the text, a moment of epiphany, of clarity, of aha! When Jesus is at the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And just like that, Jesus vanished from their sight. The now seeing and believing disciples, they turned around and made a return journey into Jerusalem to share what had happened with them, or to them, along the way. And how the risen Lord opened to them the scriptures, caused their hearts to be burning within them, and then as he revealed himself to them in the breaking of the bread. That's the what of the text. The so what of the text. Why is this significant? Well, there's a number of significant events in the text, but I want to highlight just three of them today. The first one is this, that there is a journey motif or a theme that comes through Luke's gospel. In fact, it comes through all the scriptures. But if you read it, you'll read through Luke, you'll see that Jesus is always on the move. And in particular, he is on the move both to and from Jerusalem and the temple. The temple, the place where God dwells with his people. This journey is to remind us catechumens of the Israelites' exodus from slavery out of Egypt to the land of promise, the land of salvation, the land where God promises to dwell with his people. A journey away from false gods and idol worship to faith and to right worship with the one true God who is mighty to save. A journey away from moving or worshiping the unknown gods in the wilderness to the presence of the living God who promises to make his presence known in his temple. As Jesus is on the move, he is coming alongside people and inviting them into this journey. And some of these people are just strange ducks. Fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes, even Gentile sinners. And he is inviting them and he's bringing them along on the way. And he grants them faith. Faith to hear and believe as he preaches, as he teaches, as he heals, and as he feeds. Jesus is on a journey and he invites others to join. And the second point to highlight is this. That not only is Jesus on a journey, like he's got to get from point A to point B, but that he actually stops and he eats with people. He stops and he eats with people. That is to say, he invites others into fellowship with him. When he comes into the homes of others, they either are receiving Jesus in joy, gladly hearing his teaching, and are brought from sin and death to life, or in the case of so many of the Pharisees and the scribes, they remain hard-hearted and they reject Jesus and his word. These two themes dovetail with a third theme in the 24th chapter of Luke. And the third theme is this. Unless Jesus comes to you and opens your eyes to see through the eyes of faith, you remain spiritually blind and dead in your sin. What we have in Luke 24 has been and continues to be the chief way in which the Lord reveals himself in this age, through his word and through his sacraments. As Jesus was on the road with Cleopas and the other, he opens the scriptures to them. And through this catechizing, he opens their eyes that they might see how he is the content of the prophets' preaching and the hope that they were longing for. He teaches them from Moses how the Christ is the one who is to bring about the greater exodus of his people from slavery of sin and death to forgiveness and life. The disciples are beginning to see rightly how Jesus is the linchpin for understanding the Holy Scriptures. He is the cornerstone on which all others rest. He is the picture of the box of the puzzle, so you can see how it all fits together. Jesus is making himself known by the written and spoken word. But that's not all. When he was at table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. They recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. The Orthodox Church, the right-believing church, has always understood that this is to be seen in connection to the supper of the living Lord, the sacrament of the altar. From all of the feedings in the past, the Passover, the manna in the wilderness, the fish and the loaves, they were all there to prepare the disciples of Jesus to receive him and perceive him as he comes to us in the sacrament of the altar. For this is where Jesus comes to reveal himself to you, where he comes, in fact, to dine with you, where he comes to you to deliver to you the forgiveness of your sins through the shedding of his blood. When the pastor points to the bread and the wine and says, "The peace of the Lord be with you always," it's because it's found in Christ. So now what? That's the third thing that we're to consider. How is it that we are supposed to live together as the church? How is this information now supposed to impact us? How are we to live in light of this in our vocations? Well, I think one thing is that we should recognize that our call to follow Jesus, a call to be a disciple of Jesus, is a journey. It's a journey from death to life to ongoing life. That is to say, it's a journey of faith that begins in our baptism, or where the Lord calls us by his word to then be baptized, and brings you out of the dominion of the devil, and brings you to a life, to live it in and under his rule and reign, right? That you would be his people. This journey of faith continues, not apart from the word, but as you're catechized by the word of God along the way, and as you dine with him at the table of the altar. It's a journey that will lead you from this veil of tears in the wilderness, ultimately to the glory of the new creation. And though this earthly journey is going to end, be that at your death and burial, and you'll no longer be with the Lord and see the Lord in word and sacrament, the great joy is that you will be raised up just as our Lord was, and you will be with him in glorified flesh, dining at the King's table with all those who have gone before us. For this journey of discipleship is one that is traveled with the crucified and risen Lord, from death to life, through death to life that lasts forever, and it is a lifelong journey. So that's the first now. The first now what is simply, look, continue to live as a disciple of Jesus. Don't give up meeting together around where Jesus promises to be, namely in his word and his sacraments. Our Lord has not called you to walk alone through this life. He's called you to be together as his people and to be with him. He's not called you to journey on your own way with your faces downcast and without hope. He has called you to life together with him, where you can gladly hear his word and recognize him in the breaking of the bread. And so then recognizing him, receiving him and his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and have your hearts uplifted and full of hope. Another now what is this? Your journey as his disciple will bring you into Jerusalem and then out into Emmaus. If Jerusalem is the place where the temple is and the place where God's people gathered faithfully, then he always brings his people outside of Jerusalem, right? So that's to say, it will bring you to the place where the Lord has promised to meet with his people, to forgive their sin and to strengthen their faith so that they might live in love for their neighbors. Your journey will be to come here, or congregations like here, where the word of God is proclaimed, where you receive ongoing catechesis, where you are fed by by and with the Lord. But service ends. You don't stay here all week. You go. You go to school. You go to work. You go to Kroger. You go to Crane. You go to South, to IU. Some people even like to go to Purdue. The Lord has places where he is sending you to. You journey there. You go. You don't stay here. And in those places that you go, the Lord has called you to live as the Lord's disciples, talking about all that the Lord has done for you. You are the Lord's dearly loved children, and through you, he wants others to know about his love and his care as well. Well, how might that be done? Well, I think the challenge to the kids is a challenge for us all. Talk about these things. Make that practice happen in your cars on the way home from church. Another thing is just look around in the sanctuary. Notice that there's still some empty seats. There's some people who we haven't seen for a while, friends or family who might be sick or for whatever reason aren't with us. Look for them. Look for them. Look for them and call them. Visit with them. Do something. Let them know that they are cared for and loved, not just by the pastor of the church, but by the church, by his people. Right? People may be downcast and perhaps have given up hope. Call them. Remind them of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Walk alongside with them. Listen to them. hear what their complaints or their sorrows or their challenges are, and speak Christ to them. Be Christ to them. I'll tell you, there might be other now whats that you take for this text. I pray that as you journey from this place today, you'd continue that conversation. And I would encourage you to read the scriptures with the what, the so what, and the now what in mind. And I would encourage you that you would continue to gather as the church. Be catechized by the Lord in word and receive from Him His wonderful and gracious gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He freely and generously offers in the sacrament. Be encouraged that discipleship is a lifelong journey, but it's one that's not walked alone. It's always with the presence of our risen Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.